Welcome to Journal Club with Happy. I'm your host, Happy Kasai. I'm a graduate student at Vanderbilt University. This podcast is structured as a short scientific journal club where I will discuss scientific papers and relate their major findings. Generally, journal clubs have a scientific audience ranging from undergraduate science students to primary investigators who run their own laboratories at academic institutions. And the communication during the sessions is of scientific jargon that is very niche to the field of study. For this podcast, I'll try my absolute hardest to use everyday language to explain science. It's not going to be easy, and you'll see me fail, but hopefully it gets better over time. For this first episode, I have picked a paper that was published at the beginning of this year, on January 3rd of 2024. It was published in the journal Neuron. The paper is from the lab of Yevgenia Kozorovitsky from Northwestern University. The primary author of this paper is Mingzheng Wu. It's an incredible body of work in the field of systems neuroscience, and I'm excited to share it with you. The title of the paper is Dopamine Pathways Mediating Effective State Transitions After Sleep Loss. Just from the title, we recognize dopamine, which is one of the major neurotransmitter chemicals in the brain. It is one of the chemicals that nerve cells to communicate with each other. We also see the mention of affect. Affect is a term that describes our mood and feelings. The third term that we see is sleep, which is an important bodily state that is regulated by the brain. So this paper is going to relate sleep loss with changes in mood and the role of dopamine in this process. Before discussing the results of this study, I would like to share two important pieces of background information as introduction. The first is that there's a strong relationship between sleep loss and affective disorders like bipolar disorder and major depressive disorder. Alterations and dysregulation in sleep and disturbances of our circadian rhythm are common features in affective disorders. In fact, in previous studies that investigated changes in affect, sleep deprivation has been used as a method to modulate changes in affective state. And this is without any pharmacological interventions. So without the addition of any drugs, scientists have used sleep deprivation as a method to modulate changes in affective state. The second piece of background information is that dopamine signaling throughout the brain has been implicated in both sleep regulation and affective disorders. So there's a 24-hour cycle to dopamine signaling in the brain that influences our sleep patterns. At the same time, this neurochemical dopamine is associated with affective states, which could be either depressive, which is a term used to describe very low in emotion, or manic, which is a term that describes very high in emotion. After considering this background information, the authors identified a gap in our understanding of sleep, dopamine signaling, and changes in affective state. The relationship between the three is relevant because the change in affective states is the major feature of bipolar disorder. You may know this. Patients with bipolar disorder experience changes in their mood, and understanding the mechanism behind the changes will help us treat the disorder better. Having said this, the main scientific question addressed in this study is the role of dopamine as an important brain chemical in changing states of affect that are induced by acute loss of sleep. To answer their question, the authors used an experimental setup where mice were kept in a cylindrical chamber that allowed them to move freely and gave them free access to food and water. However, there was a metal beam at the floor of the chamber that was constantly rotating. The mice had to constantly move in the container to interact with the beam, and their continuous locomotion deprived them of sleep for 12 hours. This is acute sleep deprivation because the mice had regular sleep schedules before the start of the experiment, and the sleep loss that was induced in the experiment was limited to 12 hours, which is just one cycle of their circadian rhythm. The other 12 hours would be their active state, and the 12 hours where they were sleep deprived would have been the time where they would be sleeping. Along with these group of mice, there was a control group of mice that were kept on a normal 12-hour light, 12-hour dark cycle in their home cages. So they'll be active in the first 12 hours and inactive during the latter 12 hours. So we have these two groups of mice, and behavioral measurements were taken for each mouse before and after sleep deprivation so that there's a baseline value for comparison. And throughout the study, there were four major behavioral measurements. The first three, which I'll state, are associated with manic or very high in emotion episodes of bipolar disorder. The first one is hyperactivity, and this is just relates to the general movement of the mice in their home cage. And it was measured by looking at video recordings of the mice movement. The second one is aggression. And this was tested by introducing a younger, smaller male mouse to the cage of the test animal. And the male-male social interaction was videoed, and the social behaviors, including aggression, were studied. The third behavior that is associated, the third behavior that they looked at was hypersexuality. And the sexual behavior was tested by introducing a receptive female mouse to the cage of the test animal. The male-to-female interaction was videoed and studied for changes in sexual behavior. The fourth and last behavior that they looked at was a measure of depressive state. It is called learned helplessness. Learned helplessness was induced by exposing mice to inescapable food shocks and testing their failure rate when exposing them to escapable food shocks. It is an experiment technique that mimics the feeling of giving up after experiencing repeated and multiple inescapable stressful situations. So it's a way to measure the depressive state of the animal. And just a reminder, all these behavioral experiments were performed before and after sleep deprivation to identify the specific effects of sleep loss on behavior. Now let's look at the results of the first experiment. Acute sleep deprivation made mice hyperactive, more aggressive, and hypersexual, while the control mice that had a normal sleep schedule did not have a change in behavior. I'll repeat this. Acute sleep deprivation made mice hyperactive, more aggressive, and hypersexual. Mice that had experienced sleep loss had higher locomotion, which meant they were hyperactive. They were more aggressive towards a younger, smaller mouse when placed in the same cage. And they also engaged in more sexual behavior when interacting with a receptive female mouse that was placed in their cage. And for the fourth behavioral measurement, the study indicates that acute sleep loss reversed learned helplessness. So mice that underwent the acute sleep deprivation protocol escaped the food shocks more than the control mice. And these results together point out that acute sleep deprivation enhances the hyperactive state, which was measured as hyperactivity, aggression, and hypersexuality, and decreases the depressive state in affective disorders like bipolar disorder. The authors used these results to set the stage for the following experiments that included measuring and manipulating dopamine pathways in the brain. So I'll restate the results of the first experiment. Acute sleep deprivation made mice hyperactive, more aggressive, hypersexual, while reversing learned helplessness. In the second experiment of the study, the authors link sleep deprivation to dopamine in the brain. By using fiber photometry, which is a technique that allows us to measure nerve cell activity in the brain of freely moving animals, the second experiment compares levels of dopamine between the control mice and the sleep-deprived mice. So we have a technique that allows us to measure activity of neurons in the brain in freely moving animals, and we can compare what activity looks like in the control mice versus the sleep-deprived mice. The results showed that acutely sleep-deprived mice have higher nerve cell activity in the ventral tegmental area. Then this is a very important area because it's the brain region where dopamine is produced. So I'll repeat the results of this experiment. The results showed that acutely sleep-deprived mice have higher nerve cell activity in the ventral tegmental area, which is the brain region where dopamine is produced. And further investigation by suppressing the activity in this brain region. So they used a method called chemogenetics for any listeners who have background in systems neuroscience. You can better understand this. Further investigation by suppressing the activity in this brain region showed that some of the behavior changes that resulted from sleep deprivation could be reversed. So when activity in the ventral tegmental area, which is the dopamine producing area, was suppressed, acutely sleep deprived mice did not become hyperactive and did not become hyperaggressive. They had baseline levels of locomotion and aggression. And their enhanced ability to escape the food shocks was also diminished when the ventral tegmental area was suppressed. The sleep-deprived mice gave up on escaping the food shocks just like their baseline levels. So the results from this second experiment show us that the changes in affective state, which are the changes in behavior, depend on dopamine in the brain. After seeing that acute sleep deprivation increases the activity of the ventral tegmental area, which houses the nerve cells that produce dopamine, and how that increase brings about the changes in behavior, the authors then looked at the target brain regions where the dopamine is released for their third experiment. So they've looked at what activity in the part of the brain that produces dopamine looks like and how it increases due to sleep loss. And now they're looking at the target brain regions where that dopamine is being released. So dopamine is produced in the nerve cells of the ventral tegmental area, as I've said previously, and is then released in other brain regions like the nucleus accumbens, the medial prefrontal cortex, the hypothalamus, and the dorsal striatum. So these are all brain regions that are targets of dopamine released. And in line with the increase in activity of the ventral tegmental area, where sleep deprivation increased dopamine levels in the nucleus accumbens, the medial prefrontal cortex, and hypothalamus. So there was increase in activity in the part of the brain that produces dopamine, and at the same time, the release of dopamine in these three brain regions, the nucleus accumbens, the medial prefrontal cortex, and the hypothalamus, was also increased. So our results match in both the site of production and also at the sites of release. And I should mention that the method that they used is called fiber photometry. And while there was increases in spontaneous dopamine transients in the three brain regions, the nucleus accumbens, the medial prefrontal cortex, and the hypothalamus, there was no effect on the dorsal striatum, which is another brain region. The third experiment is important because it helps us relate the different behavioral changes to the different target regions of dopamine release. In the fourth experiment, we learn that subgroups of dopamine pathways are responsible for the different behavioral transitions observed after acute sleep deprivation. And understanding that there's subgroups of dopamine pathways that originate from the ventral tegmental area where dopamine is produced to the different brain regions that are targeted by dopamine, which are the nucleus accumbens and the medial prefrontal cortex and hypothalamus, we can perhaps prescribe these different target regions to the different behavioral changes that were observed after acute sleep deprivation. And by selectively manipulating the different dopamine pathways that are coming from the ventral tegmental area, we learn that the hyperactivity behavior from sleep deprivation is associated to dopamine release in the nucleus accumbens, while the hyperaggression behavior from acute sleep deprivation was linked to dopamine's action in the medial prefrontal cortex, and the hypersexuality behavior was due to dopamine's action on the hypothalamic area. I'll go through these results again. The authors selectively manipulated the different subgroups of dopamine pathways that are originating from the ventral tegmental area where dopamine is produced, and learned that the hyperactivity behavior that is induced by sleep deprivation is associated to dopamine release in the nucleus accumbens, or the NAC, while the hyperaggression behavior from acute sleep deprivation was linked to dopamine's action in the medial prefrontal cortex. And the hypersexuality behavior that was observed from acute sleep deprivation was due to dopamine's role in the hypothalamic area. They also looked at this specific subgroup of dopamine pathway that enhanced the reversal of learned helplessness after acute sleep loss, and the reduction in learned helplessness behavior due to acute sleep deprivation is attributed to high dopamine release in the medial prefrontal cortex. The enhanced release of dopamine in the medial prefrontal cortex following acute sleep deprivation leads to enhanced local neuroplasticity in the target neurons. There is an increase in dendritic spine formation in the pyramidal neurons of the medial prefrontal cortex following the increased dopamine released from the VTA due to acute sleep deprivation. When the animals underwent the procedure that sleep deprived them for those 12 hours, there was more dopamine released from the ventral tegmental area in the medial prefrontal cortex. And that increase in dopamine release led to local neuroplasticity. So the neurons in that in the region called the medial prefrontal cortex developed more dendritic spines, more routes for communication. And so they were able to see this by applying different pharmacological and genetic techniques. Those were the findings of the study. To put everything into context, I would restate that dopamine signaling in the different brain regions is involved in the changes of affective state that are brought about by acute sleep deprivation. As I've said in the beginning, this study packs a great deal of work, probably completed over multiple years of hard work. It furthers our understanding of the role of dopamine in bipolar disorder, and hopefully we can find a cure for the disorder in the near future. I'll add a link to the paper itself under the episode notes. That was it for today, and until the next episode, ciao.